Hey everyone, thanks for joining us for another great episode of The Next Stage. This week on The Next Stage, me and Tyler sit down and chat with Keegan Swenson. Keegan Swenson, Park City native, U.S. National mountain bike champ, set the bar for Everesting. We go into depth talking about his background, talking about his daily routine, going into training, what drives him to train and race, you know, what pushes him. And it was a great conversation. I loved hearing his answer, loved hearing what he had to say, what gets him out there on the bike, why he rides the bike. Keegan's a phenomenal guy, so determined, so mentally strong. Can't wait for you guys to hear this conversation. Hope you guys enjoy. Thanks. All right, welcome. Good morning, Keegan, Tyler. Early, thanks for joining us. Keegan, we're super excited to have you on the show today. Thanks for, you know, coming on, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Excited.
So, dude, you have been absolutely smashing your training right now. You've been out there. What's it kind of, how's home life been right now? You know, how's it been?
Well, it's been good, man. I mean, you know, like kind of July here in the mountains in Utah is kind of one of the best times of year. And I guess for me, like, it's been a bummer not traveling and racing so much, but it's also like, it's rare that I've gotten to spend so much time at home. So just trying to take advantage of it and get out there and do some like new rides and some different stuff that I hadn't really had time to do before. So yeah, it's been good.
That's awesome. So you grew up in, where are you living now?
So now I'm living in Heber City, Utah. I grew up in Park City, which is just like 20 minutes away up on kind of the other side of the hill. My parents still live up there, and my girlfriend Sophia and I moved down here about 3 years ago. So
that's awesome. That's awesome. Why did you guys move from Park City to Midway?
I wanted to buy a house, and Park City is just crazy expensive. And I also, like, after hanging out down here, like, I love the training out of here. Like, it's a little warmer weather in the winter, a little easier to get out to, like, calmer roads, less traffic. Yeah, just a little more chill down here, which is nice. Less tourists, less stuff going on. So, it's definitely an awesome spot to hang out.
That's awesome.
So, you've been,
man,
while not racing, doing some pretty ridiculous stuff. I think, like, it seemed like you kind of kicked off the whole Everesting. I'm sure everyone has like Everesting fatigue at this point, but you kicked off the whole like Everesting challenge, like breaking the record thing. What was like the inspiration behind that? How do you feel about it now? Like, in hindsight, like seeing what it's kind of like started around the world with everyone going for it. Like, just like explain, like, you know, your perspective on that.
Yeah, it's actually kind of funny. Like, I had kind of, in the last few months, like a couple months before I did it, I've been thinking, I was like, man, I kind of need like something to do. Like, I've been training and I want something to do that's hard, you know? and then I kind of heard about this Everesting thing. I heard like the fastest time back then was like, it was like 8.5 hours or so. And I was like, oh, I'll just do it on Empire. I'll do the full climb, do like 7 reps. It was going to be like pretty like low key. Like, I was going to go hard, but I wasn't going to like kind of nerd out over it, you know. And then a couple of days later, like, Phil Gaiman went and like smashed the record and went under 8 hours. And I was like, well, dang, like, now I'm actually gonna have to put some thought into this and kind of rethink my game plan. So I like called some of my buddies at Trainer Road, and they kind of helped me run some numbers and figure out the fastest segment of road on that climb. And then turned out to be like the last, or just the beginning of it, from like the gate at the bottom to the first left-hand switchback.
On Empire.
Yeah. Cause I wanted to do it on that climb. Like, that's my home climb. And that's like one of what I think one of the hardest climbs around, you know. It's steep, it's hot, it's exposed. And like, I thought it'd be kind of just badass to Everest on it.
Yeah.
So I wanted to do it there. And the last like bottom, like, it's like 1.8 miles or something. So it was like 29 reps. after 28 and a half to Everest, but I was doing 29 just to make sure. So
yeah, fair. That was dramatic later with people not quite getting it, and then
right. So I'm glad I did that extra just to be safe, and then yeah, I was happy with my time. I was like, I mean, to take like 12 minutes out of Phil was pretty good, and then it's funny now, like after like Lachlan did his, messed up, did it again, went really fast, and then Contador went and did his. I was like, man, I kind of want to try again just to see if I can go faster. And like, ideally you want to find one at sea level, right? Because I think you could go a lot faster, but it's hard to find the right segment. And because I think that's the biggest part, like Lachlan was going 75 miles an hour on the descent and I was only going 55. So I think like,
oh my god,
that's like all the time right there, you know?
True. Yeah, getting down, it seems like, is like just as important as how fast you're climbing.
Like, I thought my segment was pretty good. Like, there was, the road was still gated. Like, I was going really fast. Like, 50 mile an hour average is pretty good, but 75 is just next level. So,
yeah. So,
it's like,
you kind of like mentioned one thing was like, so you do think you want to maybe try it again at some point?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
It's like, it's more just for myself, you know? Like, I want to see how fast I can go and how fast I can do it. Like, I learned so much the first time that I think, like, even if I were to do it on the exact same climb, I could probably take, like, 10 minutes out. But I think doing it on a segment that's straighter and ideally lower elevation, I think you could take a lot of time out.
And so you think lower elevation will make a big difference for you?
I think so. I think it'd be huge. As long as it's, like, relatively dry air and it's not super hot, like, I think I could do, like, for example, instead of doing, like, 270 to 280 watts, I could do like 290 to 300 watts for that same segment, right?
Right.
So you're going to go that much faster.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, that'd be cool to see you give it a go again.
Yeah. We'll give it a go in St. George, man. Like in the early winter when it's not, you know, too.
I know. We should find a climb down there.
But Smith Mesa, straight. Man. Wouldn't that be. Oh, not straight, though. That's true.
Yeah, it's a little too. I thought about that one, actually. But it's a little too turny.
They just repaved like,
it. Slow down.
They just repaved it.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's pretty quick.
You have to
now.
Give it a test run.
It's pretty good. But so you mentioned, I love, you said you learned stuff on your last run. Was that just learning what technique or power or like physical? But
kind of.
I mean, what about mental, man? You got to be, that's nuts.
Yeah. And it's like, you learn like, I'm like, man, like I could have gone. Like, the last two laps were my fastest. I was able to, like, kind of drop the hammer and go real, real hard, I think.
Your last two laps.
Yeah. Wow. So, I was like, man, I could have gone a little bit harder. Like, I had quite a bit left in the tank. So, like you learn. Like, I was pretty conservative on pacing because I was like, man, I don't know how long this is going to take. At least almost 8 hours. I don't want to blow up and be suffering for 4 hours, you know?
Yeah.
So, well, like, but it was kind of fun in a way, like, the last 2 hours were pretty, got a little harder, kind of dark, but it was cool. Like a lot of people came out and were doing laps with me and, yeah, it was.
Were you cool. Talking at all or are you just pretty focused, zoned in and focused?
I'd say the first couple hours I was pretty talkative, chatty with whoever was there. And then by the end, it was like almost closer to a threshold effort, like your heart rate's at like 170 beats per minute and you're still doing the same power you were at the beginning, but just so not talking a whole lot.
What are you thinking that whole time? What's keeping you going?
I don't know. It's funny, like just kind of thinking about different stuff. You just kind of like, for me, I wasn't looking at my total time. I was just hitting the lap button on my Wahoo every lap. And I just like taking it lap by lap and just trying to like, I had my like time markers and I was just like in the zone and doing my thing.
That is like, so awesome. I love it.
And I was kind of keeping track. I knew like I had to be to like this amount of laps to be ahead of Phil. And then I, with the last two laps, I knew I had it. So I was like, all right, well now we can just give her and see how fast I can go at the end. But
that's awesome. Well,
that's awesome. That's crazy. Yeah. I'll never do that.
Yeah, you started it off. I mean, you really, really started. And I think what everyone kind of forgets, too, a lot of time is that it was at such high elevation as well. You know, you're, what, 6,300 feet?
Yeah, I think I was finishing close to 7.
Yeah.
It was, like, the top of my segment.
That's insane.
And Lachlan's was high as well, which
yeah.
I think was pretty cool. Like, it is Everesting, so I think it adds.
I think it should be at, you know, if you can.
I think it's
like,
cooler.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. you should have that, you know, extreme burning and that throbbing in your, you know, head from the altitude. And yeah, I mean, you're Everesting, it shouldn't be fun. Or, you know, I don't know. I haven't done it. And but yeah, it sounds crazy. But so you're from Park City. Mm-hmm. You're the same age as me and Tyler. Me and you grew up together racing in Utah, and you know, we'd see each other at every now and then at a few crits or road races. But it was always kind of opposite spectrums of this, of the bike, you know. You were mountain bike, I was road, and sometimes it would meet in the center. But I think a lot of people would love to hear, you know, because your achievements are just insane, you know. And I think a lot of people hear your Everesting, you started that. Really, you know, you're national mountain bike champion, you're selected for the Olympics, like, you got all these great achievements and all these, you know, just ripping it. But a lot of people, I think, would love to hear how that came to be, you know, what was it like growing up? Was it just always mountain bike? You know, love to kind of hear your background.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously started out racing mountain bikes when I was a kid, maybe like 12 or so years old, just doing like the local Intermountain Cup races. And it was funny, I actually remember racing the Deer Valley Norba race, like, back in the day. That was like the old, it was like before the Pro XCT calendar came along, and I was like, you know, doing the kids race in a little grass field. And I remember watching like Todd Wells and all those guys racing like the proper race and going around the venue getting autographs and posters and all that stuff. And then, like, you know, fast forward a few years later, and I'm racing with those guys at the Pro XCTs at the pro level, and it's pretty cool, you know, like, kind of come full circle like that. And I guess kind of how it all started is I just, like, went to my first national championship when I was 15 in Colorado, and finished third there, just a bit behind Howard Grotz, who won at the time. And I was like, man, this is, like, you know, I'm pretty decent at this, I guess we can keep going. And I kind of started, I mean, I got kind of training more seriously, got a coach, and whatever else, started traveling a little bit more. And then I won the following year when I was 16. And then I went to Europe when I was 17 in my first World Cup. I got my ass absolutely handed to me. After that, I was like, man, like, I have a lot of work to do. This is way harder than I thought it was going to be, you know? And you know how it is. Like,
yeah,
you're winning stuff over here. You think you're, like, hot shit. You go over to Europe and just get your clock cleaned. And you're like, wow. And then, but then the following weekend, I did a race in Switzerland, like a Racer Bikes Cup. That's what they're called, the Swiss Cup. And I finished third against basically the same field. And I was like, okay, maybe I'm not as bad as I thought. Maybe I can do this. It just, like, took a race to kind of figure out how to race in Europe. And, like, those guys are just so much more aggressive, and the racing's different, the courses are different, and it just takes some time to figure it out. I just kind of went from there. I mean, then I went to my first World Championships that same year in Switzerland as well. That was a pretty big experience, like, first time racing for, like, Team USA and all that. I just kind of kept slowly going up, started training more and traveling more, and yeah, I guess that's kind of how it got going. And before that, I guess I did do some road racing as well. Like you kind of mentioned, like, our paths would cross here or there. I do, like, some of the local crits and local hill climbs and, like, whatever road races were going on in Utah. And it's kind of fun, you know, like, to race, do different stuff. And I think it's good when you're young to do some different events. Like, I have thought about racing road. I've thought about doing that. And it's just nice to have, like, a little bit of experience racing on the road. So I'm not, like, if I were to ever do it, I wouldn't be, like, you know, completely screwed. I wouldn't have, I kind of know what I'm doing, you know? like, I did some local races in Tucson this winter, and I did Valley of the Sun in February. And I was like, it was fun, you know, I had a good time. And I was like, I'd love to do some more road racing. So, like, I think it's all good, you know?
That's awesome. So, that's so awesome, man.
Yeah.
With growing up in Park City, did you do any other type of cross training, like, any growing up, or was it just fully the mountain bike?
I was pretty big into ski racing, like downhill ski racing when I was
really
a kid.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So I actually did that like pretty full on until, man, I was maybe, I thought I was like 14, and that's kind of when I decided I wanted to like go into mountain bikes a little more. Just like a little, like I was actually pretty good at ski racing, but I was a little too small, a little too light to be really good, you know?
Yeah.
And like, cause for bike racing, like I was naturally like a little smaller, and like bike racing, you want to be light, and ski racing, you want to be built like a truck. So like, and then like, as you get better at both and older, for you, for ski racing, you get to travel in the summer and do like ski camps in like New Zealand or Chile and go to glaciers and all this stuff. And then bike racing, you end up training in the winter, you end up racing in February. So they started to overlap more and more as I got older. So just kind of had to pick one of those.
Was that pretty difficult to choose?
Not really. I guess I like, for me, I knew what I wanted to do, and it wasn't really a tough decision for me.
Yeah. Dang. I mean, at least it kind of, that for sure sets you up with the skill set for mountain biking. Like those.
Oh,
are,
definitely. Like
you have to be on your, yeah. Think, be on your toes.
Yeah. Even for like racing on the road and training on the road, like I learned how to go through corners so fast, like descending on the road bike for me is like, I have a lot of fun doing it. I'm comfortable and just learning how to set up and like hit the apex. And like, I think you just learn how to do a lot of things fast.
Yeah, so, for sure. And so now your pro team is Stan's Pivot. You guys have, well, you are on the Olympic long list, and Chloe Woodruff is also on the Olympic long list, right? So I guess like the Olympic buildup, obviously, like that's kind of, we were talking to one of our first guests on the podcast is Kenny Selman, who's a 400-meter hurdler, and he was also long slated for the Olympics. And we were talking to him about, like, you know, the obviously big delay in the Olympic goal. Mm-hmm. So, like, how's that looking for you now? Like, you have to kind of, like, push everything back a year. Is, like, the team kind of also focused on the Olympics, or is that more of, like, a personal thing that they support you in? And then, like, yeah, talk about that.
Yeah, it's like a little bit of both, I guess. Like the team, like it was kind of focused the last few years to kind of build, like for like Chloe and I to build this team around going to the Olympics. And then, so they've been really supportive and like racing World Cups and doing some like these stage races to chase points. And it's kind of a collective effort between the team and between USA Cycling to try and, you know, make it happen. Yeah, and then this, I guess it'd be, was it like in March or so, when coronavirus hit, they're like, oh, like it'll still happen. Like it'll just be no spectators or whatever. And then they just flat out canceled it.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I think for me, I'm not really that bummed that it's canceled. I think it's almost was a good thing for me. cause I've still got some work to do, and I've like in order to, I don't just want to go to the Olympics just to go there and finish. Like I want to go there and like actually be a competitor, you know, and like have an awesome race. So I think like I've got, you know, I have to like work on certain, like you have to be better at like short power and all this different stuff. So I think as far as I'm concerned, it's just like an extra year to get stronger and get faster. So I'm not actually turned. It worked out okay for me, I think.
I know with the women, it kind of seemed like in like interviews that I've heard and read, they were like, collective, not even like, well, I guess like Chloe's the only, I guess there's, you know, Chloe and like the other hopefuls, like we're all kind of working together to like chase those points. How's like the relationship with like you and Chris and like the other men, you know, that are also kind of, well, I guess it's you and Chris now, but yeah, you know, how's that like relationship with you guys? Because you're obviously like kind of teammates on the national team. You're, there's only one spot, unfortunately, so like there's obviously some rivalry there. But like, what's that dynamic like?
Yeah, I mean, last like 2 years, we've all worked really well together to chase points. Like Chris and I have done some stage races together, even while we're on rival teams and whatever else. And sorry, and I've did some races with Russell Finsterwald and Luke, and so we're all just working together to try and get two spots. And what kind of happened is Luke had an injury last year. And then, like, Russell kind of had to step in and start chasing points. So we lost, like, a pretty big chunk of points there.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were on a pretty good track to get two spots. So it was a bit of a bummer. But, I mean, that's racing, you know, people get hurt, and that's kind of what happens. And we gave it a good shot, and, like, I think in the end, like, all of us get along really well, and, like, there's definitely no drama. Like, whoever's fastest should go. Like, if Chris has a better spring than me next year and goes to the Olympics, like, that's great for him, and I think then he deserves it. Like, I don't – I'm not going to, like, petition and be like, oh, well, I – he even not was as fast and blah, blah, blah. It's like, I just, like, want whoever's going to represent America the best should go.
So. Yeah. I think that that's, like, kind of an interesting dynamic that the mountain biking people seem to have over, you know, the road.
The road.
I feel like the road is not – that would not go over in a similar way. I mean, like, obviously the points are acquired differently. But,
yeah,
I don't know. I feel like that's, like, something with you guys and, like, your personalities. So it was definitely a big difference compared to us. I think, I don't know, road cycling, people are maybe a little more selfish in a lot of ways.
Yeah, it's interesting that it's, like, it's more of a team sport, but then there's a little more, like you have to race together, and, like, it's not all about you, but at the same time, they are, it seems like it is a little bit more selfish. Like, it's a little bit backwards, you know?
Right.
Whereas, like, when we're racing, like Chris and I are racing each other as if we're not friends, right? Like, we're racing, like, full on. Like, there's no love lost there. But it's, like, but then off the bike, and when it comes to, like, stuff like this, like, everyone, like, gets it and is, like, you know, friends and gets along. So
it's definitely a different dynamic. Your sport is structured to where, like, I mean, road cycling is still weird in that it's like an individual but team sport, and you guys are all, like, you know, team, like, there's teams, but, like, when the
racing is individual,
it's individual, and
right,
it's
so opposite,
a little more secure in, like, their spot, because, like, you know, if they're the best, where you, with road cycling, you have, like, you know, political dynamics in the team where someone's working for someone, and I think that's probably has a lot to do with it, but it's just an interesting, like, contrast, I'd say.
Yeah, definitely is.
They're polar opposites, you know. It's pretty actually wild to think about, where you have the sport, the mountain bikers see that, oh, racing is an individual sport, but we're still on a team, you know, that, and we're cycling, like we just said, that's pretty interesting. I never thought of that. So,
yeah, and there actually are some small, like, team dynamics in racing, like, especially if it's a course that's faster and flatter, like, there's a bit of drafting, or, like, you can send someone off the front and do this and that. So it's, like, there are some team dynamics, but it's not nearly to the extent that road is, you know.
That's crazy. Yeah.
So, like, going into next year, like, are you under contract still for Stan's Pivot, or are you – like, looking out?
No, my contract's up at the end of this year.
Okay.
So I'm not quite sure what I'm going to do yet.
It seems like a lot of mountain biking, gravel. Well, let's talk about gravel real quick. We can just get that out of the way. Are you interested in gravel, or is that, like, not really something that, are you, like, more interested? Like, if you were to branch out of mountain biking, would you rather go to the road, or were you thinking more of, like, would you go into gravel?
I mean, it's funny, like, as far as I'm concerned, like, mountain biking and gravel are kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, people like to make it out as gravel's, like, this new sport and whatever else, but it's almost like, it's basically, like, mountain biking with a bike that's, like, not as fun, you know? Like, like, to be honest, like, I think gravel racing's fun. Like, I love doing it. Like, I've done Crusher and some other stuff, and I'd love to do more gravel racing. But it's not, for me, it's not a different sport. Like, it's just an extension of mountain biking in a way, you know? It's kind of this, like, similar, like, if it's a hilly race, there's, like, kind of similar tactics. And, like, if it's a flatter race, it races more like a road race in a way. Like, you have to, there's drafting, and, like, you have to be smarter with the way you race. Like, I was 100%, I wanted to do Dirty Kansas this year until it got canceled, you know? Like, I think it's fun. Like, it's kind of like a blend between the two in a way.
Right.
I think it's funny, like, people have, like, complained about road racing getting too gravel racing getting too serious and this and that, but in the end, it's like, I think it should be kind of whatever you want to make it. Like,
I agree.
If it's like, if they want to be serious and you want to have, like, pro field and prize money and all this, I think that's great. And then, like, it can be less serious too. Like, you don't have, like, it's like mountain bike racing. Like, we have, like, at the Epic Ride Series, there's like the full spectrum of people, like they love it. Like they love the fact that we're going hard and putting everything into it. And they like, they're watching us race the Fat Tire Crit the night before. And like, they come out and like spectate the backcountry race. But then there's people out there just having a good time. So I don't think there's any reason it can't be both, you know, like no one's ruining gravel. No one's like doing this or that. It's just is what it is, man. And I think like, it's just be, let it be both.
Yeah. Just go ride your bike, race your bike.
Exactly. Yeah. It's funny, like racing some road stuff this winter, like I had a lot of fun doing it. I was like, man, road racing's cool. Like it's just so different from what I'm used to. So I was like, man, I was like looking forward to trying doing some more road racing this year, just like fitting in like some random Utah events or whatever, you know? Cause for me, it's like I still have like a fair bit to learn for road racing and it's like kind of fun. It's different. So it's, yeah, I think it's all good.
Yeah. So in the, like you, would you, at any point, would you like to like do like a bigger like road calendar or try to, you know, be on like a pro team at any point?
I would love to like guest ride or something for a team for Tour of Utah and maybe do some other like pretty big, if I could do some bigger like UCI races, I think it'd be cool. Like I always thought they look like a lot of fun and like I love climbing and, you know, so I think it'd be cool to do someday for sure.
Yeah.
Definitely not. Definitely not opposed to it. You know.
Yeah, yeah, that's awesome.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. So, what's your daily routine kind of been looking like ever since quarantine's been kicking in? With are you just still mad maxing it with training, and how you doing?
Yeah,
to
I mean,
compensate that while at home.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Like in quarantine, like first started, Sophie and I were down in California, and it got like everything closed really quick down there, you know, like there was nothing open aside from the grocery store. And like honestly, like life is like pro cyclist hasn't changed all that much. Like it's definitely a bummer to at first, like oh, I can't go out to dinner with my friends or like go get, all the coffee shops are closed and all this, but like in the end you're still like you're just going out and training. And I was just happy that we could go outside and ride. Like all the Europeans were stuck indoors and I was like, well, it could be worse, you know, at least we get to ride outside and go enjoy ourselves. So I wasn't too like stressed over it. And yeah, now that like things are kind of open back up and it's kind of like basically life is like back to normal for me in a way, like just wake up, go train, and however long. And then, normally like I'll do like gym work 2 or 3 times a week. That's normally in the afternoons. And then, yeah, I try and go do like, go get lunch with Sophia or like do some other stuff. Yeah, it's not like anything dramatically different, you know, than normal life for me. So
how do you like, so I mean, some people easier than others to like be motivated without having like objective.
Yeah.
How have you like kind of like paced that out in your, you know, stay on the grind, like stay on your diet, stay on the gym work? Like, is that something that comes easy to you like naturally, or have you like,
I think so, been, like
ripping some Stravas and doing some things like that too?
Yeah. Like I love just like, I just love training. Like I love riding and I just want to be like as fit as I can be, you know? And I know it's like, it's so different for different people. Like I've talked to some other friends who race and they're like, man, this is terrible. Like I hate training. I only just race because like I like to win and I like to race, but I that's the only reason I train, you know? Mm-hmm. But for me, it's like, I just want to get as fast as I can and get stronger. It doesn't matter if we're not racing. And then in the big picture, like, it does make a difference, like training hard now for next year, you know. Absolutely. Like it's a good opportunity to get fitter and like kind of build that massive base.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with the Olympic year. And like every once in a while, I'm like, man, I kind of like overdoing intervals. I'm going to go chase some Strava segments or whatever for intensity, you know? So like I was chasing that old La Honda segment that I still didn't get down in NorCal. Sophia and I are down there training for a few weeks. And then like some odd ones around here. And then like, actually found some races to do. The iCup local races here going on. So I did that this past weekend, which was awesome. Yeah.
I saw that.
That
was super cool.
I forgot how fun racing is. I was like, man, this is so cool.
I wish I didn't even know that stuff was going on, man. I would have drove up.
Yeah, dude, there's another one in August 8th or something up at Powder Mountain.
I'll be there, man. Just bring the camp and tent up there, man. It'd be awesome.
Exactly. I was going to go camp at that one. Just hang, because it's just cool to get back to bike racing. Everyone is stoked, you know?
I think everyone misses that atmosphere, man. Misses that. You know, at first, you're kind of like, all right, no stress. I'll just focus on training. And I think that the longer it's gone on, you really start to miss just seeing everyone, having that feeling in your stomach, you know.
Just going hard too, you know.
Yeah, going beyond hard, you know, going past what you thought you could do. And yeah, I definitely miss it. I know Tyler misses it. I mean, sounds like you do too.
Yeah. I was like, man, this is really cool. So now I'm going to go do more of those. And I actually found a 100 miler I'm going to go do in Telluride 100.
Oh, that's awesome. So Telluride's so pretty.
That's going to be a beast of a race, probably 8 hours, 8.5. So
that'll be kind of fun. I'm glad that you've seen this as a positive and an opportunistic, you know, time. And you've seen it, you know, with training and, you know, you're like, all right, you know, maybe I wasn't going to be 100% ready for the Olympics. I see this year as almost a free year for me to kind of get back on that and get that training and get that everything. Have you also, how have you done that? Have you looked into kind of your mental strength or doing mental training or looking outside of, you know, doing more core? I mean, you said you did gym work. Have you, you know, because a lot of times they say you do the same thing, the routine, you'll get the same results. Have you thought about, have you and your coach kind of been looking for other, you know, maybe recovery methods or, you know, something, you know?
A little bit. I think we've been changing things up a bit, with training. That was one of the reasons, long just to change up scenery, going to, Northern California to do, a sea level camp. Just basically it was 3 weeks of VO2, you know. I think for me that's the biggest place that I need work is that VO2, 1 minute power, 2 minute power, all that against those Euros, some of those bigger guys. So that's one thing we're gonna try and implement this year and next year is doing some different sea level camps and kind of do just big intensity blocks to change it up. I think it's hard to say if it's helped already, right? Cause it was just a few weeks ago, but I think mentally it's good to go do that stuff. Cause you know, training altitude, you just can't go nearly as deep. So going down there, it's you're mentally training yourself and you're physically training yourself how to go really, really hard. You know, you could just dig so much deeper and not worry about exploding. So for me, that's kind of one thing we've been implementing. Been trying to stay on top of stretching and recovery stuff a bit more just because it's hard when you're not racing, you're not you don't feel like you have to, you know. So that's been a little difficult, but I've been trying to find a good routine and I'm still getting massage here or there to keep from getting too bound up. So then mentally I do work with a sports psychologist. I've been working with Kristen for a few years, but this year
I haven't
really talked to her much just because, I've been in a pretty good place and, all the mental stuff I have to work on is really just for racing. Training, I've got, pretty dialed. I'm content to go out and just do whatever I'm told every day. Mentally, that's all good. It's really just, the race side of things that I need to work on. Sometimes I get in my own head, oh, man, I just got passed by this guy. I'm going backwards. This sucks. I just get in this negative spiral, you know? So all that stuff's been, we've been working on that on the racing side of things. So it's kind of hard for me to do a whole lot without racing, you know, with that. But yeah.
That's awesome, man. I did a lot of work with a sports psychologist, back 2016, for 3 years. Mm-hmm. And it was major difference. I think that was you know, and I don't know if it is, you know, now big in cycling, but I thought that was one of the biggest things missing was, you know, we spend all this money on physical coaching, but
yeah,
it's so much of a mental game, you know.
Oh, it totally and is, man.
I feel like, you know, you go out there and everyone, you know, especially at those hard races, it's kind of that one percenter, and that's always kind of the mental, like whether you have that left or, like you said, in the races, getting passed by one person and just not quitting, or, you know, and I definitely, like, yeah, if there's like young, like any young kids out there, that's the advice I would give them is, you know, not just investing in a riding coach, but try to find a good sports psychologist. But yeah,
totally. Awesome. 'Cause you like you might not always be the strongest, but if you're like the strongest mentally, you can still beat a lot of people and you can still win races. Like even if you're not 100% form, like.
Totally. And it's crazy how you start just building up, you know, you start to recognize, you know, that you maybe have already implemented these steps, and basically the sports psychologist is just telling you what you're doing, you know, like you've been already doing things. I feel like as such a high level athlete, but you just don't know what they're called or, you know, and so you start recognizing you start being more aware of that, right? Your mental health. And you're like, oh, okay, I'm doing that. And then you start kind of, I feel like, building that stronger base till, like, just like you, there was that, you know, I felt like there was that time where it's like, all right, I have this base. I know these steps. I don't need to see him as much or I would just see him before like a big event or something like that. And
yeah.
Cause it sounds like you know, you've built up this great platform and it's definitely shown in your results. I mean, this year, you know, the Everesting results. And, so that's been cool to see. That's cool to hear that you work with a sports psychologist.
Yeah, it's definitely been, I think that's the biggest thing for me at the World Cups past couple of years is like just the same thing would happen. You know, I'd go out and like have a decent start, then I'd get passed by a bunch of guys and I'd be like, man, this just like isn't working. Like I'd just go backwards and finish like 50th or 60th. And I was like, this is just stupid. Like, you know, why am I doing this? And then kind of started working with her and kind of like start implementing these things. And like next thing you know, I finished 40th and then 30th. And then I had a top 20 and it's like, okay, I can do this. And like at the World Cups, like you finish 40th place, you're only 4 minutes back. Like it's really nothing. Like it's not that much time. And you finish and like 1 minute up is like 10 spots. Like, so it's really like, you can't worry about the people and the places. You just have to worry about yourself and just trying to go faster and like not worry. Like if a big group passes you, 'cause you'll probably pass them back. And that's, you know, so.
That's awesome. So, I love that you,
I've
been going to went to that iCup series and, you know, being able to ride with all those, like, basically what the high school mountain bike kids and everyone kind of around when you see them.
Yeah, it was really cool.
When you see them and you're racing with them, I mean, I'm sure they're so stoked to see you, the national champ, you know, just all the other accomplishments you've done. They're probably pretty stoked. I mean, what advice or what questions do they ask you? Or, I mean, even if they're probably afraid, like, as you see them racing or developing, what advice would you give to, you know, a younger self, you know, a younger you, or even those kids going through it?
Yeah. I think the biggest thing is to really know why you're doing it. And then like really just to have fun with it. 'Cause if you're not enjoying yourself with the way you're doing it, maybe you need to change your process or change your goals a little bit to make it fun. Because like, you're not enjoying yourself, you're only going to do it so long, you're not doing yourself any favors, you know. I think that's kind of the biggest thing. You have to enjoy yourself and kind of like, obviously there's going to be some days that suck. Like I don't want to go train for 5 hours in the rain, like this is terrible. But like overall, the grand scheme of things, like you have to realize that you do love it and you have to figure out like why, you know. So I think that's probably the best advice I can give.
Yeah, I feel you with that.
So then you just said that, you know, why do you ride? Why do you ride? Why do you do it?
A few things, I guess. So I guess like, first of all, I love mountain biking. You know, like being out like in the woods, like in the mountains and just like ripping trail is like one of the best things ever. You know, for me, that's like the pinnacle of it. And then I also love just like I love training and just like seeing how far I can push myself, like seeing how fit I can get and like how, like what my limits of where I can blow up, like, okay, I can work on this, I can work on that. And like, for me, I love that process of just like just training, I guess, in general, you know, just getting better and improving. Cause it's like, makes it more fun, you know, like the more fit you are, the faster you can ride and the longer you can ride. Like, it's so fun to be able to go out and do like, I could go do an 8-hour ride in the mountains and feel great the entire time. So it's like, that's a big reason for me. And then last, I just like, I love to win. Like, I love racing and I love competition. So it's like kind of a blend of all those things, I guess, is like in the end, I'm a competitor, you know, like, so, yeah, that's about it.
Dude, I think honestly, that's kind of a great like closer right there, man. I mean, that was awesome listening to that. What, do you have any kind of final thoughts or things you kind of would like people to know about you, or, you know, maybe updates or things you're going to be doing?
Man, I don't know. I mean, things you're going to be doing, just going to be doing the same old thing, training and chasing your odd Strava segment here or there. and then, hopefully some racing. I mean, there's a 100-miler this weekend. I think there's a couple more coming up. Some I-Cups. So like now after racing, I've kind of got the racing bug. So again, so I'm going to be hunting all the races I can.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah.
Well, yes, that's
thanks for coming on.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. It was fun.
Before we leave, how can we follow you? How can people out there follow you on social media?
Yeah. So, Kegels99 on, Instagram and Twitter. Not very active on Twitter. But Instagram, I try and stay on top of it. So, and then Facebook is just Keegan Swenson.
Sweet. So, awesome.
Yeah.
Sweet. Thanks, Keegs. I appreciate the love. Thanks for being on, man. It truly, I love having. Yeah,
thanks for having me.
All these conversations every week and hearing the differences between each athlete. And it's really, it's awesome. I mean, just hearing how they approach it and how they're, you know, handling, because this, it's crazy right now with COVID.
Yeah, it's definitely crazy.
It's definitely pushing, I feel like, athletes to, I mean, like everyone's pushing everyone to their limits, but as athletes as well, we're seeing new limits to ourselves, and it's cool following you. So people go follow him. Go follow him on Strava too. He's always sniping Strava segments. He just
good segments you want me to go try and get.
Send him a message. He just crushed mine that I forgot I had. What was that, guardsman or
yeah, like the full guardsman from like from Midway. I think the segment that you had was the one from the gate to the top.
Yeah,
Gavin Mannion actually had the one from Midway, like from the very bottom to the very top. So,
oh my gosh,
I went for
and you crushed that one. It. You crushed my time by 3 minutes. I couldn't believe it. It was nuts.
Yeah, one of these days I want to go take a crack at Sepp's KOM to the Y because he ripped that one pretty fast.
Oh, so, man.
We'll see.
Awesome. Cool. Awesome. Well, thanks again, man. Have a great day. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, you too. We'll see you guys later.
Ciao.
Bye.
Bye.
Awesome. What an awesome podcast that was. Conversation, talking to Keegan and you know, hearing what he's been up to and hearing what he's got planned and just hearing how he got into it. I loved it. What are your thoughts, Tyler?
Oh, sorry. I'm choking a little bit. Yeah, man. Like, I think I really appreciated – I guess he and I can relate a lot in the sense that, you know, we enjoy training. So it was kind of nice for me because – then I don't feel like such a weirdo for the approach that I have for it. Yeah, I mean, like, he's obviously a phenomenal athlete, and it's cool. We'll have to see, you know, it'll be interesting to see the battle between him and Chris for the Olympic spot, too.
Yeah, that will be super exciting. No, I just like you said, I, you know, with his approach geared towards just purely loving pushing his body, purely loving getting the best out of himself, and just not even, you know, he misses racing, but he just loves that, you know, just doing his thing. And it's just been really fun talking to all these different athletes over the last few weeks as we've done these podcasts and just hearing the different approaches towards the virus or towards, you know, training and output, you know, we had Colin on, and they're basically like polar opposites in their mm-hmm. mental, you know, still the same level, still the same high competition, different, you know, obviously strengths, but it's really different approach. You know, Colin just thrives in pure competition. And, you know, Keegan just thrives with just going out there, you know, and getting the bet, just doing Everest on thing on him by himself. And I loved it. I loved, you know, hearing his story growing up here, you know, growing up with him. It was awesome to hear his background and everything and hearing how he got into it. So I thought it was awesome.
Yeah.
Really fun. So, all right, guys, just like every outro we do, we'll have Tyler. I thought that was just kind of fun to kind of do a little review of how we thought the conversation went. I hope you guys enjoy that. But just like I always want to, you know, kind of give the opportunity to let you guys know what me and Tyler are up to, what we've been up to the last few weeks or upcoming. And yeah, so Tyler, what have you and the Legion been up to?
Well, me and Legion we're not doing a whole lot, to be honest. Pretty much at this point, you can almost write off the season. So, like, it's looking like we're not going to race. There's, like, one that's still not canceled, Gateway Cup on Labor Day weekend. I don't know. Like, I've kind of, at this point, kind of, like, given up expecting to race. But, yeah, you know, like, similar to Keegan, actually, like, on a personal level, like, I've spent this whole year now, like, kind of, like, rebuilding, you know, what I lost, I guess, in that year, last year, where I wasn't quite as dialed. And, you know, I kind of got back to that level and now have actually been working on, you know, getting to a higher level. So, like, as far as, like, a, you know, I set my own personal goals and have been putting in, like, good work for training just because, you know, I can totally relate to Keegan. Like, this year, you can waste it and not do anything, or you can put in some hard work and hopefully it pays off next year. So I've been spending a lot of time just training and doing school. And, yeah, you know, like, it's my day-to-day just hasn't really changed a whole lot outside of not traveling. So, yeah, I mean, I like putting in the work. So that's just what I'm kind of doing, just cruising along, chugging along, and maybe we'll get to race, but I just don't really see it happening. So building for 2021 in 7 months.
I love it, dude. I love it. Yeah. I think the season is basically going to be a bust this year, but you know, like I said in the podcast, I think it's, and you agree, and it's an after, you know, it's a year to kind of use it as an opportunity, you know, strengthen what you didn't the year before, look at your flaws a little bit deeper, you know, because we definitely have a lot more time to ourselves. And it makes me sad when people are still, you know, just on social media, still complaining, you know, waking up like day 165, you know, like, it's like, wake up, man. Like we all understand it. We're in this quarantine, you know, we all are suffering, you know, and so it's like, we've gotten so used to just posting this negativity online that is, you know, I've found like, it's like, all right, put the phone away, you know, post in the morning, put the phone away and focus on myself. You know, every morning I've been waking up and doing about 20 minutes of meditation before I start the day. And it's crazy, you know, with just focusing more on inward and looking at, you know, my flaws and looking at things that, you know, I've done wrong or, you know, things I could work on. And I've never had a year like that where you've had months, you know, literally we've been given months, a year to, you know, work on ourselves and work on our flaws, whether that be our eating habits. I mean, I'm still like, it's every day I wake up and I'm just like, man, I could do this better. And it's, you know, I think it's just not about getting discouraged about it, but realizing that everything's a daily process. And you get that 100% because, you know, with you love training, you understand that. It's just a daily process. The 1 hour today will, you know, add up to my 8 hour ride, you know, 8 months down the road or whatever, you know. And so, yeah, I love talking to people like Keegan, you, and hearing a lot of people making the best out of the situation because it is hard. It's sad. But I think if we can grow and see, okay, we have issues. We are inside ourselves, you know. None of us are – we're all glass houses, so none of us should be throwing the stones, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love it. I love hearing all these athletes approach, and I love hearing your approach every week and talking to you. And, you know, even with – you're coming up to be a dad, so how's that vibe, you know, preparing for that?
I'm getting more excited, for sure, you know, like, yeah, I mean, it's like kind of like the thing that is, you know, on the horizon now at this point. Like, that's what I'm looking, that's like the next like big event for me will be that
the big goal
when he comes. So yeah, it's going to be, it's exciting. And, yeah, I mean, hey, yeah, things change. So like, it's, you know, just like one day at a time right now, as far as like just enjoying the peace and quiet, I guess.
Yeah. And again, another,
and being
another opportunity, yeah. You know, with had you been out racing full gas, full time, you know, right now it's probably been super nice to be home and help Bria out as much as possible. And also just not having the stress of like, oh, cause that was a big stress for me last year, was like, am I going to be gone at a race? Because at last year when I was at Tour de Beauce, Heather had, you know, thought she was going to have the baby, and you get back from the race and your phone's blowing up with text messages, and you're like, great, I'm up here in Beauce, Canada, why my baby's being born. So I think it's super cool that you have all this time to kind of, you know, basically just prepare. Chill, you know. Yeah. You don't have to be like, oh man, I'm going to have to be at this race or this race. You can truly just be there. So that's super cool, but awesome. And so again, guys, if you want to follow Tyler, how can you follow Tyler?
Best place is on Instagram at TW Cycling. That's where I'm the most active. And then everything, my Twitter is the same, and everything that goes on my Instagram goes on my Twitter. So yeah, I'd say Instagram.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. And then, yeah, for me, it's kind of same boat as Tyler with, you know, me and my program, Imaginary Collective. We're, again, just kind of in that chill land, you know, where you just, the races are canceled right now. And so it's just about looking towards 2021. We do have a lot of sweet merchandise. So if you guys want to go check that out, go check out Imaginary Collective on our Instagram and go check out that. For myself, man, I don't, just been, we, this weekend was busy with Nirvana's birthday, and yeah, it's just been, again, just a process every day, meditating, writing, doing a little bit of art, and just enjoying being home with my family, because it's definitely an opportunity. Me and you know well that, you know, we've been living in Europe for years or been gone from family for so long, so it's pretty awesome to be home. But yeah, you guys can follow me at on my Instagram at TJ Eisenhart. And yeah, thanks again, guys, so much for joining us for another really fun episode. Send us comments, send us messages or people you think we should bring on. And again, go follow us on the Next Stage 2 on Instagram, and hope you guys have a great day.
Yeah, take it easy, guys.
Ciao, bye.